Acts chapter 4, verse 23, King James says, "And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all." I'm just going to stop right there, and let's just open in prayer. Father, we just thank you for this time together again as your body. Thank you for every precious person, believer, member of your body that's here tonight. We thank you for the truth that has been established in each and every one of our hearts, that we can allow our hearts to become even more established as we dig into the things of your word. We thank you that truth deals with the traditions and doctrines of men. It roots out those traditions and doctrines. It exposes the error that many of us perhaps have been exposed to as we were growing up, or we might even still be exposed to when we watch television or be in the workplace or be around certain people. We thank you for the truth and the light and the wisdom that only your word and your spirit can bring. So we thank you for that in advance as we dig into your truth tonight. We honor you and thank you in Jesus' name. And everyone agreed, said, amen. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all. You know, this is a very similar thing in Acts 15 where Paul had gone back to Jerusalem to report. It says, "And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church, and they declared all the things that God had done and shown them." Well, that's what I'm going to do tonight. I had started to prepare a message back a few weeks ago knowing that I would be gone all this past week and down in Tulsa for Winter Bible Seminar, and knowing that I'd be getting back and not have time to prepare or study beforehand, so I was getting a message ready. But while I was in Tulsa and driving back and spending other times down there alone, my wife stayed back here and ran things here, and I just was down there for a specific purpose. I just really felt impressed that I'm just going to share with you some highlights and some overall themes that ran through that whole message, or the seminar, if I can put it that way. You know, as the RMAI director from Minnesota, I have certain responsibilities, and one of them is that I'm supposed to attend at least one major event in Tulsa every year. I don't always make that, and fortunately I know enough people down there, and they know me, that I've been able to get an excused absence once in a while. But sometimes when I haven't gone for a couple years, I have to contact them and say, you know, I'm going to come to either Winter Bible or a camp meeting and so forth. And Pastor Mary and I went to a camp meeting back, I don't know, 2-3 years ago and some other things. But when I was looking at the calendar for this year, I just knew I needed to go to Winter Bible instead of camp meeting. Besides, wouldn't you rather go to camp meeting, Winter Bible in February when it was 80 degrees down there on Thursday? Yeah. Instead of 120 degrees in July when you go for camp meeting? No, thank you. But God just really, there was a real emphasis, and I am so glad, because the theme was welcome home. Chris, if you've got that first photo about that, can you show that for me? I tried to take some pictures with my phone. I wasn't real successful with some. I know I took some pictures, and when I went and looked at them, they weren't there, so I don't know what happened to them. But you can see here, this was the opening morning. It says welcome home. They had a big thing about homecoming. And for me, I wanted to spend time seeking the Lord, getting some personal direction, some quality time. You know, without my wife there, without other things going on, we had breaks in the afternoon. I could spend some time alone in my hotel room, and I took a couple of long walks, walked all the way around Woodland Hills Mall a couple of times, went and visited our old house in Tulsa where we lived for a couple of years, drove around, did some other just walking around the city there on 71st, familiar territory for those of you who've been to Tulsa and lived there. But I wanted to make some connections. I wanted to be able to go there and have that sense of coming back home to Tulsa. Tulsa isn't home, but Rhema is home, if I can put it that way. Rhema is home. And it's interesting because one of the things that kind of got brought up and someone pointed out to the Hagans is that word, something happened to the, see the word, the letter L there? it got kind of obstructed at one point during the first morning. And if you take the L out, it says, "We come home." And it was, there was an emphasis of that all week long about people coming home. There was a real emphasis on the worldwide theme, worldwide Rhema homecoming. There was a lot of international ministers there. A lot of the people that have started international schools there. Some of you remember Barry Jensen. Some of you remember the Fletchers. I was able to see all of them and spend time with all of them. And it was just blessed to see Gary and Connie Crowell. Ran into Tony and Lisa Cook. And, of course, Tony Buck. I was, Dwayne, it's so good to see you. It's been so long since I've seen you. And so it was, there was just a lot of people that we got to see, that I got to see, that I hadn't seen for a while. It's one time when people come from all over. But I was really blessed. Remember when Tony was here and he talked about Brazil? There must have been 100 people there from Brazil. Almost a lot of the directors of the Bible schools there and a lot of the pastors. That country is on fire. I sat at the luncheon with a couple. Actually, they're both lawyers. And God delivered them and got them into ministry, and they run a school now, and one of the things that God has them working on and really dealing with is apologetics. They go into campuses and other things where there's a lot of atheism and a lot of agnosticism, and they are just, God's just using them mightily. And it's just fun to hear how God's working all over the world and share, letting iron sharpen iron. But one of the things that I knew that I needed to do while I was there is really focus on some things, and I'm not going to give you I'm not going to tell you what God was telling me, because that's between me and Him. But He did speak a lot of things to me about some things, and the Lord didn't disappoint during that week. That's all I can say. It was a very profitable time. The first session, though, that morning, I was so blessed, because one of my fathers in the faith, I know he's younger than me, but not by much, but one of my fathers in the faith, the man who speaks into my life more than just about anybody else other than Brother Hagin, is Brother Doug Jones. And so that very first session at 8:30 on Monday morning, guess who the guest speaker was? I'm going to put that picture up for me. Now, that's the wrong way. But that's typical for Doug, laying down on the job. I don't know how that happened. Did I do that the wrong way? Anyways, there he is, teaching away. And let me just put it this way. He set the stage for that whole week for me. He just came right out of the gate strong and basically said the church has been too reactive over the last couple of decades to the things going on in the world, and really emphasize how powerful the church needs to be and be proactive. In these last days, the church must be proactive. And he went through a number of scriptures and basically said, we as the church have been forewarned about what's coming. And if we're caught off guard, it's nobody's fault but our own. There's something about being forewarned, because our world and our culture has deteriorated so much in the last 20, 30 years. You just think of where things have gone. I mean, there's not a single area of the world, of our culture, that you can look at and say that it has become more godly. If anything, it has become less godly. Whether it's television or radio or politics, things of sexuality, marriage. I mean, you just go across the board. And the enemy has pulled out all the stops. He's just doing everything he can. And Brother Jones was just talking about how we really have to be on our guard and be aware that there are certain timeless truths. And he always goes back to certain timeless truths. He's always teaching those. But that was his emphasis, that the church cannot let go of these things and compromise on basic theology. Things that we know that the Word is established on. And that's something that we don't have a problem with in this church. We're constantly going back to those basics, constantly talking about righteousness, constantly talking about those fundamentals, those established principles, things that we should be holding on to. And he went through so many scriptures where the church is admonished to be steadfast, to hold fast, especially in the last days. Went through 2 Timothy chapter 2, chapter 3, about in the last days things are getting worse and worse. But, verse 14 says, continue in the things which thou hast learned and seen and heard and seen me do, he says. There's something about that. We'll come back to that maybe in another message, because that's actually part of the message. I was so blessed because that's part of the message that I actually was preparing back a couple weeks ago. So, there are five major things, he called them gifts, that God gave to the church that are timeless truths. And I'll go through them right away, real quick. I'm not going to, obviously, I can't preach his whole 50-minute message. But number one, the thing that we as the body of Christ need to hold on to, which many churches and denominations have let slip, is that gift of righteousness. Knowing that we are the righteousness of God, that God has made us righteous, that is probably one of the most important messages and principles that we are entrusted with. And, you know, that's something that we always try to weave in somehow or another into our messages, that you are the righteousness of God. The purpose of salvation is for man to become right with God. That is why Jesus came. That's more important than anything else. Salvation falls into that category of righteousness. Then the next thing is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Once we've been born again, once we've been made right with God, we can now become His vessels unto honor. We can now receive that fullness of the Holy Spirit with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking with other tongues, all the gifts and the manifestations that the Holy Spirit brings. Those are all things that Jesus said to tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with what? Power from on high. The church has been sadly lacking in demonstrating that power. And we need a demonstration and an awareness of that power in our life. So again, over and over, all week long, we kept hearing things about the Holy Spirit, about stirring yourself up, about praying in the Holy Ghost, that in these last days, you just cannot afford not to be stirring yourself up and spending time praying in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost, building yourself up in the most holy faith. There's just something about that that has to be prominent, because it's so easy just to get caught up in the things of the world and just let those things slip. It's easy. But we need to be mindful of it, and he just emphasized it over these certain timeless truths. The third thing, obviously, then, is the Word of God. And the whole purpose of the cross, the whole purpose of the Holy Spirit and everything, is so that we can have the Word of God that can transform and change our lives. And what have we been entrusted with? The Word. Number four, then, is obviously the ministry gifts. And we had a season back a couple of decades ago where everybody wanted a title, everybody wanted to be known as something, and it got so blown out of proportion, then everybody backed off completely of it. And all of a sudden, there was almost like a lack of respect or a lack of understanding of tapping into the ministry gifts. Now, a lot of you have been around long enough to see that, but we've saw it. And, you know, there was a season where when you understood who a certain man was, you had a great respect for that gift. And you drew on that gift. You know, when we see a certain person like a Tony Cook or a Doug Jones or whoever that is, they're a gift to the body of Christ. God calls them gifts. Ephesians 4 says, God gave gifts unto men. Those gifts are men with certain abilities, certain ministry abilities, to bring us to a certain place. That's what Ephesians 4 is talking about. And if you just say, oh, that's just another guy, just another teacher. Well, there are a lot of teachers out there. But there are certain ones that God has supernaturally gifted and equipped, and that specifically probably speak into your life more than any other. And if there's certain ones that you understand, you have to have a respect and an admiration and an understanding of what God's doing in them and receive that gift. And a lot of times the reason some of these Christians are sitting, they listen to all this Christian radio and Christian TV, and they're hearing so many messages, but they're not changing, they're not transforming, they're not growing, is because they're only interested in hearing something new. They're only interested in hearing another message. They're not receiving it from the gift. They're not receiving and in a sense respecting that gift and the giver of that gift, which is God. I respect the person, but they're just a vessel unto honor. But I will honor that gift, and because when I do, I recognize that what God is using them for, I can get something out of that can transform my life. So like, oh yeah, I read that book. Oh yeah, I heard that message. Well, did it have an impact? Did it have influence you? Letting those messages and those messengers impact your life is really important. So recognizing those, And number five, he said, is community. And we've obviously, that fits right in with our focus for Acts 2:42 and everything that we talk about, the word and prayer, fellowship, community, all the things. We are a part of the body of Christ. And there's one thing that Doug sees as the head of RMAI and the international. I mean, he works and deals with all of them. He's over all the ministers throughout the world. He has all of them over under him. And the things that he sees and he hears. One time I remember talking with him, I said, I don't know how you handle it. I don't know how you can deal with all the things that you've seen here. I mean, the things that I've had to deal with in the 10 plus years as a director just in one state, and he has the whole world. I can get frustrated. I can get concerned. And I can feel overwhelmed at times. How you handle it. He said, well, thank God I've got other people like you and all these other directors and regional directors and handle part of it. But he said, if there weren't for the grace of God, there's a giftedness that goes with that ministry gift, a grace to stand in it. But we are understanding that we're part of a body. What he sees more than anything else, and I felt that he was talking about, is that we see all these individuals, all these lone rangers, all these splinter groups, all these people thinking, well, I don't need the church anymore. The church has become this, or the church has become that, or the church has got off track here. Well, that's an organization, or maybe that's a group, but the church hasn't. Everyone say the church. We're the church, and we have to embody what Christ wants us to do as a community and as a church locally and as a body locally, so we can be part of the body universe. Today's culture is challenging every one of these gifts. I mean, you look at all the things going on, and there are people preaching against our righteousness, basically saying it's okay to live unrighteously and be a Christian and without any consequences. I'm sorry, there are consequences. It says, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. And that every one of these, the gift of the Holy Spirit, I mean, the charismatic movement, there was an outpouring. It's so interesting. Everywhere else in the world, 90% of the Christians that are coming to Christ and having revival are charismatic Pentecostal Christians. They're all having that supernatural experience of speaking in other tongues, that presence and the power and the person of the Holy Spirit coming in their life. It's only in this nation that we have intellectually abandoned the Holy Spirit and put them off